This is the clip from Austin Matthews after last night's game that's got us talking.
Yeah, I think like when we go through the pre-scout, obviously like we key in on those two guys. They're extremely dangerous, two of the top players in the world. But I don't think we can't get away from our game too. I mean, you know, we got to go out there and play our game and try to produce offense. We got to play to win, not play to contain two guys. So
Austin Matthews on Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, the game plan last night, Stewie, and then Borny pick it up. That sounds to me like Austin wasn't exactly enthralled with the game plan.
56 game season, you're going to have games like that. You can't get into a machine gun battle every single night. And I know that this is this team's strength, but you know, when you're playing 3-4 and 4-5 and 5-6 and 8-10, you got to find ways to sort of conserve energy and not just go all out, pedal to the metal every single game. But I don't think it was more so Toronto. I think it was more so Edmonton, who really, really needed a win. They just completely shut down that neutral zone last night, didn't give any time and space, and they played a perfect game defensively. So I think now Toronto, now they got to learn ways to win games 2-1, 3-1. We know they can win the 5-6-5 games and the 7-6 games, but this is hockey. This is the National Hockey League. This is how the game's played, especially in playoffs. It's a learning experience, and I think they played a pretty good game, but they got to find a way to win these games.
I think that's such a good point, Stewie. Just like, you know, everyone looks at that game and goes, boy, Toronto couldn't get anything going. Toronto's offense wasn't its usual offense. But like, Edmonton played extremely well, and that's why. And sometimes your opponent puts up a good fight. You know, I thought the Oilers were as you said, really good through the neutral zone. Toronto wasn't able to gain the zone with any speed. I feel like the Oilers were at a desperate point in their season this early, which I know sounds crazy, but like, you know, going into that game 1-3, you go down 1-4, and you got the Leafs again on Friday, all of a sudden it's, you know, you got a big climb. So I thought they got the Oilers' best effort. The Leafs weren't able to match it, but to me that was more about Edmonton than Toronto.
And Justin, with the schedule, it's going to make for a lot of comparisons, you know, all season long between these two. You think it's fair to put them up against one another every time they play?
Yeah, I love them as a matchup. I wrote that headed into the game. Just I love that, you know, they're two similarly built teams in the past anyway, where people question, can they defend, but they score like crazy. And the biggest thing with these teams is whichever team figures out the defensive side first is going to be better in the long term. And I thought that last night we saw that, where both teams tried to be the superior defensive teams. But let's be honest, that was the worst hockey game that I could recall seeing in a long time. I mean, there was nothing enjoyable about that viewing
experience.
Well,
the other thing is that it's also relative to expectation. Leafs, fair. Oilers, Matthews, McDavid, you're looking at that going, give me some, and you get that popcorn fart. Like, there was
people
nothing
were banging the over, for sure, and that was a disappointing outcome.
Yeah. Go ahead, Stewie.
But Scotty Mac, like, do you think the coaches are sitting in the office like the guy in the back of in the movie Gladiator, thinking we have to put on a show for the fans? They need to see it. You want your freedom, you have to put on a show. No, they want to win games, so they're figuring out the game plan on the best way to win a game. Not obviously it's an entertainment and it's a business, but they want the most points you get. That's the game plan. How do we win this game tonight at this point of the season?
And somebody, and I will not repeat the tweet verbatim, and I forget who tweeted it, so I can't give credit, but to paraphrase, somebody tweeted late in last night's game that this game is Mike Babcock's ... idea of a good time.
Yeah, and you know, if you're a coach, though, I just...
That was Sam McKee, actually. Now I remember. That was Sam McKee.
Okay.
Say his name.
I honestly forget.
It was Sam McKee.
I would imagine a bunch of people were saying the same thing. It was not popular on Twitter last night.
The thing is, I just can't imagine going into that game if you're Sheldon Keefe and having any plan other than let's build the focus around shutting down their two guys, because then who's going to beat us if they don't? Like, here comes Joachim Nyquist. Is that his name? Like, you know, it just feels like the game plan is beat those two guys, and if you can, then you're going to win. So I don't blame them for having a dull strategy, but certainly that was a Babcockian effort on both sides of the puck.
The goal is to win the Stanley Cup, and you look at the New York Islanders, who plays this style to a T, where they just smother the opposition in layers and layers and layers. Do you think their fans are saying, it's boring hockey? No, they're happy that their team made it to the conference finals and is contending for a Stanley Cup.
But Sheldon says we were slow, disjointed. We didn't have a lot of pace. says you have to be intelligent against the Oilers. He says today was the first game, so this would be yesterday now, that you felt the lack of fans. Like, he wasn't exactly enthralled. They locked it down defensively. I thought they did a reasonably good job. I know Draisaitl scored, but they did a reasonably good job of shorting the two best players on the Oilers, and yet the coach still wasn't happy.
Yeah, Scott, you watch every sport, and like the NBA games, if you're watching two middling teams with no fans in the NBA right now, it's tough. And I think there was the excitement in the early going, you know, the hockey's back, who cares what it looks like, we're just happy to have hockey. And then all of a sudden you get, you know, into the season here a little bit, and you're going to have those nights where the energy's not there, and you feel the sort of vacuum of energy that's in the buildings. Man, it was sort of the worst case scenario last night. I imagine we'll see a better effort on Friday, but that was not a fun show.
So, Anthony, Joe Thornton is going to be out for some time. So who do you think is going to take advantage of the ice time while he's gone?
I think you put Barbanov on the top line. No, but...
No, you don't think that.
No, you don't. No, I don't. I think the one player that's really ready for prime time, and he's been sort of going up and down the lineup from game to game and power play and not on the power plays, is Zach Hyman. I think he's really ready for prime time because every single shift you notice him, he has the speed, he has the tenacity, he's in on the forecheck, he's turning pucks over in the neutral zone, and he's doing that from the third line, you know, from basically a shutdown role, and he's creating some of that offense and a lot of chances in the first five games of the season. So for me, I think you move Zach Hyman up to the top line, you pop up Mikheyev, and you drop VC down to the third line. I think you have a pretty solid lineup. But one thing I wanted to add, too, is the fact that I hate 11-7, and that's the prime example last night. 11-7, Joe Thornton goes down. Now you're at 10-7, and you got no legs because now guys got a double shift. There's only a certain type of player, the National Hockey, that could be productive double shifting in a final period of a game. You can't have 3-4 guys rotating double shifting all the time. They ran out of gas, and I'm pretty sure that's what was the main cause of Sheldon Keefe saying, hey, they just sort of ran out of gas, and it wasn't really enthralling, as Scotty Mac says.
You know what's wild to me, though, Stewie, is like, what about the ghost of Pierre Engvall? Like, they gave this guy 2 years at $1.25 million like 8 months ago or something.
Yeah.
And now
exactly.
This guy's not even on the taxi squad. He's not even mentioned as a guy who's going to get in the lineup.
Free Pierre.
How bad was this guy in the absence of from last season till now, or in the inter-squad scrimmage before the season? I don't know. This guy's got to make a cameo at some point. He's supposed to be a part of this thing.
The ghost of Pierre Engvall. I like that one. Yeah, I mean, they're... I don't want to say they're in the weeds, but they're missing two guys on the left side now, right? I mean, Thornton is down. Robertson's their young gun that they were looking forward to getting a pretty good look at. You mentioned Hyman. Well, he's done it before. The other thing with 11-7 guys is that, you know, typically the fourth line ends up paying the price for that. You're a three line. You talk about double shifting, and that's what you're getting at. But you're also essentially a three line team over the course of the night.
Yeah, and I played on a fourth line with, when we went 11-7, and, you know, we're sitting there trying to build some chemistry, and I'm talking to the guy that's filling in for that shift. And he's basically like, dude, I'm here for one shift and I'm out of here. So don't tell me nothing. I'm going back up to the top six. So don't bother me. Just whatever. Just let not get scored on. So Simmons and Spezza, those guys are capable guys that can actually control some pace down low in the offensive zone. I think they need a permanent winger, a guy that they can build some chemistry on, because typically with this team, the fourth line, they're clock killers, just killing time for the top six to get back out there. This bottom six, especially this fourth line, they can do some damage. Get them a winger and get them some help.
All right, so, I mean, Stewie, you're a former NHL player, and I know you hockey guys always want to consider yourself players, but here's the thing. You're now a broadcast journalist. You are a seasoned broadcast journalist. Tyson Barrie is coming up on Good Show at 10:30. If you were Ben and JD, what is the one question you would ask of Tyson Barrie as a broadcast journalist?
Honestly, I'd ask it in their style of broadcasting. I would say, what were you planning on buying with that $50 million contract you were supposed to get before you came to Toronto?
List all the things in your life don't have right now because of how you played last year. Go.
And that's below the belt, but I would say in a jestful way, but that's just the way it works sometimes. And look at all the guys right now that had to take haircuts because of the pandemic. But Tyson Barrie, I think, is a really good serviceable defenseman in the National Hockey League. He's 2 years removed from a 50-60 point season, QBing a power play in Colorado. I think he still has some game. I think he'll get his just due once this pandemic's over.